The Lord be with you.
And with
a reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Are you the King of the Jews? Pilate asked. Jesus replied, Do you ask this of your own accord, or have others spoken to you about me? Pilate answered, Am I a Jew? It is your own people and the chief priests who have handed you over to me. What have you done? Jesus replied, Mine is not a kingdom of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my men would have fought to prevent my being surrendered to the Jews. But my kingdom is not of this kind. So you are a king then, said Pilate. It is you who say it, answered Jesus. Yes, I am a king. I was born for this. I came into the world for this, to be a witness to the truth. And all who are on the side of truth, listen to my voice. The Gospel of the Lord. May the holy names of Jesus and Mary be blessed now and forever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So today, the last Sunday of the liturgical year, the Church celebrates the solemnity of our Lord Jesus Christ, King of the universe. During the liturgical year, we celebrate Christ's kingship in various ways. So for example, at Epiphany, we have the three wise men, the three magi, who come to adore the baby king. At Easter, we celebrate the risen Lord who triumphs over sin and death. And on Ascension, for the solemnity of Ascension, we celebrate Christ who ascends into glory. Christ who now sits at the right hand of God the Father. So to sit at the right hand of God the Father means that Jesus Christ is enrobed with God's glory, with divine glory, is enrobed with majesty and power. He is given sovereign rights over all of the universe. Today we celebrate the solemnity of Christ the King, and we ask ourselves, therefore, what is the purpose of this feast, which was instituted by Pope Pius XI in 1925? This Pope instituted this feast in an environment of secularization, which was happening then and which is still happening today. There was once a time when the Pope, the Church, had supreme dominion over the states, over nations in the world. So you have the situation where the Pope crowns the emperor, where the state had the duty and the responsibility of protecting the Church from its enemies, of protecting freedom of religion. You had a situation where the Catholic faith was the state religion, was the religion of the state. Then came the Protestant Revolution, and this destroyed in a great way the power of the popes. But still, the Pope still exercised a political power until the years of the Risorgimento, the unity of Italy, and the First World War. With the First World War came an almost absolute destruction of the temporal, of the political power of the popes. And people began to make affirmations like, the Church does not have any say in secular affairs. They began to make this distinction, this separation between Church and state. So the Church should mind its business when it is in Church, but once it comes out of the Church, it does not have any say in affairs of state and in affairs of secular life. Today we still have that. People do not recognize the authority of the Church. People do not recognize the authority of the faith. Many who call themselves Christians, Catholics, are only so in name. the dominion, the rejection of the authority of the Pope is in reality a rejection of the authority of Christ the King. So the Pope in 1925 instituted this feast with a purpose in mind. And let us read his words in order to understand his desire, his purpose. The Pope says, "The Church founded by Christ as a perfect society has a natural and inalienable right to perfect freedom and immunity from the power of the state. And that in fulfilling the task committed to her by God of teaching, ruling, and guiding to eternal bliss, those who belong to the kingdom of Christ, and guiding to eternal bliss, those who belong to the kingdom of Christ, she cannot be subject to any external power." The Pope continues, "Nations will be reminded by the annual celebration of this feast that not only private individuals, but also rulers and princes are bound to give public honor and obedience to Christ. It will call to their minds the thought of the last judgment, wherein Christ, who has been cast out of public life, despised, neglected, and ignored, will most severely avenge these insults. For his kingly dignity demands that the state should take account of the commandments of God and of Christian principles, both in making laws and in administering justice, and also in providing for the young a sound moral education." The Pope also talks about the consequences of this feast in the lives of the ordinary faithful. He says, "The faithful, moreover, by meditating upon this truth, that is the truths of Christ as King of the universe, will gain much strength and courage, enabling them to form their lives after the true Christian ideal. If to Christ our Lord is given all power in heaven and on earth, if all men purchased by his precious blood are by new rights subjected to his dominion, if this power embraces all men, it must be clear that not one of our faculties is exempt from his empire. He must reign in our minds. He must reign in our wills. He must reign in our hearts. He must reign in our bodies and in our members." So in the Gospel of today, Jesus affirms that his kingdom is not of this world. How then can we talk about a social kingship of Christ? Christ who rules in society, Christ whose laws and commandments are reflected in the laws of the state. The Mass, the Eucharistic preface for today's Mass, calls the reign of Christ a kingdom of truth and life, a kingdom of holiness and grace, a kingdom of justice, love, and peace. Now, these are values that are part of everyday life, everyday living. And these values are necessary to build a human society where unity, love, justice, and peace reigns. So it means that if we want to build this kind of a human society, then we have to embrace the kingdom of Christ. We have to embrace the kingship of Christ. Otherwise, we cannot, as Christians, transform our society. The gospel values have to be embraced and lived by all nations and rulers, by all men and women, or else our efforts to live in peace with one another will be in vain. We remember what happened at the Tower of Babel. If we read Holy Scripture, the men who lived at that time desired to build a tower that would reach high up into heaven. They wanted to build a civilization without God. And what happened? Their plans were disrupted. They were scattered all over the face of the earth. We need God in order to live in peace with one another. We need God if we desire for peace and justice in our society. But we must humbly submit ourselves to his commandments and to the teachings of the gospel. If I ask myself, as an ordinary person, I am not a ruler, I'm not part of the government, what can I do in order to spread the kingdom of Christ in the hearts of men? Simply by living my Christian vocation wherever I find myself. So not only in church do I show myself to be a Christian, but also when I go out there, when I'm with my friends, when I am at work, when I'm at school, I do my best to proclaim, to live the Christian values and to proclaim Christ's message to the whole world. By our faithfulness to our vocation, we give witness to the kingship of Christ, and slowly hearts and minds will come to embrace this sovereignty, this dominion of Christ over all men. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.